you. Thank you so much. It's true, everything he said. We do feel that at home, and we do like buy one, get one free. We discovered that at Superdrug, didn't we? There's much shopping that happens because we love being here. And we do, even in the worship, I was just standing there thinking how much at home we feel. It just feels 100% like there's no consciousness of distance, and it's amazing. And also, I even feel more at home since you've admitted that even you don't know what a jellycopter is, because I thought perhaps that was a Britishism. And so I just have learned when I'm in the UK to laugh along. And then I Google it later because I really want to know. And another little thing, the gale force winds that we've had, I don't know if they're really gale force, but I'm calling them that. And also, I was really trying to act like that was not phasing me, because I thought that would be very American to show up and go, what is up with this weather? You guys live in this? But then Claire let me know that this is not normal even for here. And not to make too much of it, I understand that sometimes we look for the prophetic everywhere. But the thing is, God likes to speak through everything. And so just yet another thing, I had a lovely morning drinking coffee and looking out the window at the gale force winds that I was viewing. And the whole time I was bracing myself for the cold. And when I finally stepped outside the door, it's actually not that cold. Did you notice? I hadn't bothered to check the facts. You know, I have a phone. Like, the weather registers as if I'm in Nottingham instead of Fort Worth. But yay, I know, clever that, right? And so it was so astounding to me that I was bracing myself for something that was factually wrong, because I made an assumption that where the wind's blowing strong, it's going to freeze my little Texas self. So I'm going to have to really, you know. And I honestly felt that the Lord was just saying that's such a picture of what we do in our lives. We draw conclusions from things we faced before. We make associations. We exercise the wrong kind of lateral thinking and assumptions. And then we're bracing ourselves for things when we really haven't rechecked the facts. And so you can recheck the facts. What Janet read this morning was a rechecking of the facts that he's for you. He's madly in love with you. And, you know, it's not like I learned that once and I'm good to go for life. We have to keep rechecking the weather. And the weather in heaven is not going to freeze you out. The weather in heaven is calling you forth. And actually, strangely, the wind's kind of cool, like in a, that's cool way, like cool man, that way. Not, it was kind of refreshing is what I'm trying to say. I walked out the door and I thought, this is interestingly nice. Well, only I would say that because, no, you agree. Thank you. I actually do that in Texas. When we have a rainy day, I actually think of the UK and feel sort of, oh, my friends, this is what they experience. And then when they come to Texas, they go, sunshine. And we're like, yeah, we got that. We're hot. So if my friend back there can put up the first slide, this is sort of a review from yesterday. We really, at least in the first session, we really talked about this scripture, deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. Aren't you glad there's a Bible that talks about things like roars and strong stuff? It's not just placid and even-keeled, which is nice when you have it, but life doesn't throw us that. So I'm so glad I've got a Bible that's got the heights and the depths. I'm so glad I've got a God that can handle all that. He created the good of it, and he knows how to redeem the bad of it back to good. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. So I wrote a little summary to go with that. Here's what we kind of said yesterday, what we rolled out. There's a gloriously turbulent place of God's working in your life, of his heaven to earth contact, where our connection to him is forged in the depths of our being. So in that place of turbulence, he can find your depths and you can find his depths. And if we don't have some Holy Spirit turbulence flowing around, we can just get satisfied. We can get day in and day out, and there's something deeper in us calling out to live. That's the call to go wide. It's more than just, I got up, I went to work, I came home, I prayed a prayer, praise God, I'm going to bed. It's more than that. There's more in your day-to-day life. There's adventure. Even for those of you who aren't a fan of adventure, there's your kind of adventure. God has a tailor-made adventure to fit what he's put inside your heart, and he wants to work with you to walk you into that. And the enemy wants to bring his breakers and waves to overwhelm you. Let's pause and acknowledge, yes, things happen. And there's an enemy that tries to bring breakers and waves that overwhelm you. It's not even the circumstances that overwhelm you as much as our responses to them, because we can choose those responses and recycle them into positivity through God's help. But God has breakers and waves of presence that will erase, renew, and reprioritize everything. So I want to encourage you this year to maximize your time in the presence of God. It's not just a goosebump, it's a work. He can renew, he can renew cellular things in your body. He can reprioritize intentions. He can change desires. He can break things off. He can put things in. He's working. And you don't have to have a printout. I said that yesterday. You don't have to have a printout of what he's doing for it to be happening. In fact, I believe in his presence, he puts things in that take you years to unpack. And that's the glory of it. That's the odyssey. There is a calling not just to go wide, but first to go deep. But wide is also calling. So this morning, we're going to look a little bit at wide. And I want to introduce a scripture to you. The next slide will have that. It's Colossians 1:24. Now, this is a most fascinating scripture. It's one of those that you scholars disagree on this scripture. And so why would I dive right in? Because that's how I roll. Anybody know Myers-Briggs temperaments? Anybody? They're deeply disturbing and both freeing. I don't know. They're all the things. But somebody who's a Myers-Briggs coach, he said to me once, he said, Perian, you're a P. He said, you want to take everything and go out as many places as you can. Well, the opposite of that is a J, and evidently, I don't know because I'm not that, but a J wants to pin it down in meaning and sense, right? So we want to get this accurate. And I'm over here going, let's just explore. If you're not a fan, I understand, and I need you in my life too. So J's, please be fine among us. I'm going to present to you one interpretation of the scripture that I think is a very key thing, and it has relevance to going wide. And this scripture, it's a tough one because you'll see why. Colossians 1:24 is Paul talking, and he says, now I can find joy amid my sufferings for you, and I fill up in my own person whatever is lacking in Christ's afflictions on behalf of his body, the church. Now, I hope that you instantly see why that's difficult, because there is nothing to fill up about the work of Christ. The work of Christ is utterly complete. I mean, that's why the phrase is applicable, the finished work of Christ. He died for all of you, all your shortcomings. He didn't leave a stone unturned to redeem us at the cross. God would not do the work of the cross without it being absolute and complete. There's not a few things outside that he's like, I'm not sure about that. Let me rethink it. It was all in Christ so that you could fully be pleasing to God for your whole life. So that's an interesting scripture, and I hope that challenges you and intrigues you like it intrigues me. The whole scope of the rest of the Bible tells us the work of Christ is complete. So what could Paul be saying that he is going to fill up? What can he add to it? You know, it's Jesus and don't add things to him. People don't get saved from Jesus and something. It's all him. But Paul's saying there's still something to do. And I believe that's about going wide. That's what I believe. So I'm going to present to you, something a scholar has said that says what I think this is about. You can go ahead. You're so good. It's already there. Whew, that's amazing. Okay. A couple of wordy slides now from one scholar who expounded on this. Paul's sufferings complete Christ's afflictions not by adding anything to their worth. That would be heresy. But by extending them to the people they were meant to save. Wow. Oh, isn't that good? What is, it's like a potential energy and kinetic energy. Potential is sitting there ready, but until it goes rolling out into the world, there's no motion happening. What is lacking in the afflictions of Christ is not that they are deficient in worth, as though they could not sufficiently cover the sins of all who believe. They're absolutely sufficient in worth. What is lacking is that the infinite value of Christ's afflictions is not known and trusted in the world. Wow! So the afflictions of Christ are lacking, in quotes, only in the sense that they are not seen and known and loved among the nations. They must be carried by the ministers of the word. That's every one of us. And those ministers of the word, I repeat, that's every one of us, complete or fill up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ by extending them to others. You can go ahead. What is lacking then in Christ's afflictions, get this, is not propitiation, but presentation. Propitiation means he suffered with his blood once and for all. The work is done. The price is paid. The redemption is accomplished. But has that been presented? Has that been presented in every tribe and every tongue? And I don't just mean foreign language tongues. I mean every unique bent of personality. God wants to communicate to people through their unique bents of personality. And that's why it's going to take all of us to reach them. So there's a presentation value in what we are called to do. In other words, the sufferings of Jesus fully purchased our righteousness, but there is lacking a personal presentation by Christ himself to the nations of the world and the neighbors next door to your house. God's answer to this lack is to call the people of Christ, people like Paul, to make a personal presentation of the afflictions of Christ to the world. In doing this, we will fill up what's lacking in Christ's afflictions. We finish what they were designed for, a personal presentation to the people who don't, excuse me, who don't know about their infinite worth. Can I just tell you, the Holy Spirit helps. You're not on your own. Can I have my water? You saw that coming. It's always a really awkward moment. Is there anything I could do to make it less awkward? Okay. The Holy Spirit is a great, great helper in this process. You're not called to figure it out with your brain. So how many of you have been freaked out by the way your Google Home knows you or your Pinterest algorithm? Does anybody have any sense of how the internet is curating things to get to your interests? I ordered a rug. Do you have Overstock over here? Overstock.com? Okay, it's just like Amazon, but cheaper. Hey, we like that. I ordered a rug, and then I got busy, and it wasn't a big rug, so it came rolled up from Overstock.com, and it lay in my front door. Please don't be shocked. It just, for days, I pulled it in, and I was busy, and it lay rolled up. And I came downstairs and I thought, I should really unpack that. And I opened my email and I had an email from Overstock that said, time to unwrap your package. I was like, did I speak of this? What happened? It was like scary. I think it was random, but it was scary. And then, now this is even more wild. I was upstairs and okay, I do let my mind go places before I pray, and sometimes as I pray, but God interacts with that. And I was remembering that as a teenager, I taught myself sign language, you know, and I knew the whole sign language alphabet because I taught it to myself. So strangely, at 6 a.m., it seemed relevant at that moment to me to rehearse it by myself before the Lord. It wasn't prayer. It was just, can I remember that? I'm not 18 anymore. Can I remember that? So I started doing it, and I was missing two random letters, which bothered me. It really bothered me. So I kept going A, B, C, D. I can't spell a single word because you have to go through the whole thing in your mind and go A, B, C. Okay, there's D. But I could go through the sign language thing. And I never remembered the two letters. It was the most bizarre thing. It was like they had been deleted. So I went off thinking about DNA and base pairs and what kind of mutation that would produce in a molecule. You know, as you do, right? And I went on and I thought, well, I guess I'm not going to remember all the sign language alphabet. So my meditation today is deeper. I went deeper to DNA. And I'm not kidding, this happened. I went downstairs, opened my email, and Pinterest, you know, I've looked on Pinterest at inspirational quotes, but this day Pinterest had presented to me an email with a chart of the sign language alphabet. Like, spooky, right? I mean, I literally went, and then I said to Paul, I told him what had happened, and then I remembered I had said to him just over coffee, I was pouring coffee, and I said, I can't remember two letters of the sign language album, and the Google Home is sitting right there, and I was like, no, because I hate conspiracy theorists that are freaked out, you know, I don't want to be that person, but then I'm kind of like, I'm not talking to you, Google Home. Listen, here's the thing. I think some of that may be real. Like, it's if you watch it, it's crazy what gets curated according to what you look at, what you shop for online. But here's the deal. If man can do that with a bunch of math, how much more is this searching Holy Spirit of ours knowing how to curate the kingdom and present to people just what they need to hear? So the hindrance, or not hindrance, the toggle of that is, do you and I step up to the job? We don't have to do it in our own strength. It's not analyze that person, what do they need to hear from God? It's literally just be available. And I really believe the Holy Spirit wants to, I believe there's a prophetic wave coming for this church, because I can hear it in what you say, that when you're out with people, that there's going to be thoughts that come to you that you think, what would that be about? But it's going to be significant. Just go with it. And it's so great in the beginning because it's safe. You know, a lot of times you can just, the Lord might put it on. That's the thing. We think it has to be spiritual. Excuse me, do you know Jesus? That kind of thing. But sometimes the Lord might say, tell that person you like their hair. And you think, well, that's not much. But it's kind of getting your feet wet on the risk situation. And so this going wide, filling what's lacking in Christ's suffering is not always deep suffering. Sometimes it's just stepping up and doing it. It's just going for it. It's just believing that God, the Holy Spirit, knows how to curate information. The Holy Spirit knows how to show up with someone at the grocery store and say, have you unwrapped your package? You know? Hey, if Overstock can know that and say that to me, how much more can the Holy Spirit quicken us to say things? And I just believe he's wanting to do a thing where we don't just say the general stuff, where we say specific things that get people's attention. Because God speaks. You know, she said it to someone. I think it was Janet said. No, it was Zoe earlier. She said there was a tongue on every head. And that just hit me, that everybody's got a language of communication. Everybody's got a tongue. Everybody's got a way that God wants to reach them. And so that's why it's going to take all of us. So that's an exciting prospect. Next slide is, I ask for permission to do this. I'm going to boldly recommend a movie. This isn't out in the UK yet, but it's coming. This is Tom Hanks on the right with Matthew Rhys as the co-star. On the left is who he's playing, which is Fred Rogers. He's an American. He's not living anymore, but he's an American children's TV presenter that revolutionized everything about children's programming. He was a Presbyterian minister, and he left the ministry as you know it to do this children's thing. We were all raised by Mr. Rogers, and it was called Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and there's a movie called A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, and I'm just going to tell you, go see it. I thought I knew how to look at people redemptively. I thought, you know, somebody tells me all their bad stuff. I thought the Holy Spirit had trained my eyes to see the good and pull it out. But this movie showed me how much it's amazing. It's amazing. And I think you need to make a church day out. Yeah, something like that. But I'm going to tell you one quote. So this journalist here, Lloyd Vogel, he was cynical and he was assigned to interview this man is so positive you won't even think it's real, especially in the American context. I know we get like overly cheesy, but he He could be positive about anything. And Lloyd Vogel is this cynical journalist, is trying to break him down. He's thinking, this is a facade. I'm going to find the real you. I'm going to find the character you're playing. I'm going to break you down. So he hangs out with him. They go out in the streets of New York because he filmed in New York at that time. And all these people adore him. Kids come up to him. He's like the Pied Piper. And kids come up and want to, they just thank him. They start singing his songs on the subway. And this journalist is sitting there going, this is, it's, and the journalist is broken and hurting. And that's another storyline. It comes out so well in the end. But there's this moment where the journalist says, it seems like all these people line up just to tell you their problems. And he's trying to say, isn't this a burden? Don't you really hate this? Isn't there a part of you that you're thinking, oh, I'm so sick of people? And I'm thinking, oh, wow. Because sometimes you're not in the mood to help, let's be real. And sometimes you're thinking, I mean, how many of you have ever been in a situation where someone's telling you their problems and you're thinking, I had a problem on my own today, but yeah, oh, you know. So I'm thinking, what's going to happen here? And he said, it seems like all these people line up just to tell you their problems. And Fred Rogers said, I know. Isn't it wonderful? Such bravery. And I literally lost it in the theater because I was like, I thought, surely that's going to break him a little bit. And no, he refused to look at anything but the opportunity to make the presentation of God's love to people. The movie won't say as much about God's love, but it was that. Watch it demonstrated. It's amazing. So let me show you this scripture, and then Paul's going to come in just a second. Ephesians 3, 8 through 10 says, although I'm less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone in their tongue the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, that's me, that's you, that's every one of us, in your unique way, God should make known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm, make known what? His, it's right there, manifold wisdom. And it goes down in just a few verses, and it says, now to him, and I think these connect to that, now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, not out there, but within us, that's every believer, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So the next slide says, God wants to put his creativity in the church on cosmic display. Fred Rogers is only the beginning. God wants to display how he thinks about people, which is positive and loving and welcoming. And he likes you. He likes the way he wired you. So the only way you can mess this up is if you keep trying to go a different way than the way he wired you, rather than cooperate with the way he wired you. The word manifold means ultra diverse. You want to talk diversity? Look at the kingdom. It's ultra diverse with multitudinous expressions or facets, extremely multicolored, or even the, I think it's an old English sounding word, motley, like a motley crew, but not the band. Motley. Isn't the church motley? I mean, the church is motley. It's got all these shapes and colors and people that think about DNA randomly at 6 a.m. and whatever you are as well. And yeah, so God's plan to go wide is you do you, but do it full of him. My kids say to me, you do you, but they don't mean it. Like, really, please, mom, go express yourself. They say kind of, you do you in that corner. But God is saying, you go do you full of me out to that world, and you never know who's waiting to be won by who you are. And this is the multicoloredness of God, but somewhere in God's multicolor vastness is the dot that represents the color of you. Paul, you're up. Thank you.
Awesome, awesome. Are you ready to do you? Yeah, yeah. Hopefully you won't do somebody else, right? You'll just be yourself. It's hard to be somebody else. And so I'm just going to dive right into a word I feel like the Lord has given me for us corporately for this year that is an application of what Perian's talking about. I believe that this is a challenge. So while I'm diving into it, let's go ahead and have the worship team come because we're just going to dive deep. So I'm not even going to take the time to read Luke chapter 5, but I will reference it. It may be familiar to you. It's the story Jesus has been teaching. He's borrowed a boat. He's borrowed Simon's boat to teach the crowd. And at the end of his teaching, he says, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets." Deep and wide is not contrary. But launching out into the deep is where you will find the greatest catch. So Jesus knew that there was a school of fish in the deep. You're not going to catch the biggest fish or the most fish in shallow waters. You have to launch deep to be able to access the greatest catch. And I believe that this year the Lord is speaking to Ashwood that there is a launching coming. There's a launching out into the deep, launching out beyond your reason, launching out at His word. And even in the context, Simon's response to the Lord's instruction to launch out into the deep is, "We have been doing this all night and no results." Nevertheless, at your word. So you can be doing the exact same thing over and over and over, but when God says it, everything changes. You can be doing what you know to do as a good fisherman. You can be doing all the right things, but when God speaks, the results change. So when He says, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets," that's a time to obey. It may seem radical. It may not always make sense, but radical obedience releases divine results. And so He says, "Launch out into the deep, let down your nets," and there was a sudden supply. Nothing, pow. It seems like you've been doing the same thing over and over and over with no results. But this time there's a different results because God said it. And there's sudden supply. What's amazing to me in this whole picture is that Simon and his partners, his team, they were fishermen. They had heard of Jesus. They'd been listening to Jesus. They were called by Jesus on a level. But from this moment forward, they followed Jesus in His ministry and they served Him practically. They left their business of fishing. But Jesus didn't leave them without supply. He brought in a huge supply to provide for their families to release Him, to release for Simon and John and James to be released to the ministry. So it not only was a miracle to demonstrate, but it was a miracle of provision to release them to serve. And I just sense there's some miracles of provision that are coming to individuals in this house that's going to release some things, release some people, and empower launching forward and advancement of the kingdom. I believe there's going to be some signs and wonders of sudden supply. Jobs, business deals. I just see prosperity breaking out over this house in supernatural ways that's going to advance this church in its purpose of reaping a harvest, of lifting the nets, dropping them down and lifting them up full. Jesus told Simon and John and James, don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to be fishers of men. And there are full nets. There are nets ready to be filled, I believe, this year. Your pastors have declared double. That's a bold statement. But they didn't declare it out of their own faith. They declared that out of, this is what we've heard God say. So the Lord is saying, launch out into the deep and drop your nets. Do what's not reasonable to do, but do it anyway at His command. And I just see some supernatural, unreasonable decisions, actions, opportunities that are coming to this house this year. That as you step into those opportunities, you're launching out into the deep, and you will see nets filled, not only for this church, but nets filled and overflowing. So it said that as they brought their nets in, the fish were so many, it was filling the boat. So Peter, Simon, called to his partners. And I just feel like that's a signal. And let me say that it's a signal that's going to be launched out of this house. But let me also say that it's a signal that your pastors have been sending out. That's why we're here. We're here because we're partners. We're honestly, like us or not, we're not guests. You're, in some sense, you're stuck with us until they get rid of us. Because we're connected. We're partners. And I sense that there's some more partnering signals. And Matt and Claire, you guys are going to send out a signal to your partners. Because the work is going to be more than what you can handle on your own. But that's the right kind of problem. The logistics are going to overwhelm your infrastructure. But you signal your partners, and I see people coming alongside and helping, coming for periods of time, for weeks, for months, and serving and working. I see interns just coming and working in the house and serving full time, like while they're in Bible college, and I just see extra hands that are being put to the net to help bring it in. I see finances coming, and I just want to say, when the opportunity presents itself and defines itself, signal us. And we will not only be here if we can, but we'll partner with you financially. The Abbey will invest. So I'm not just saying this is going to happen, but I'm saying call on us. That we'll be a part of it. And the Abbey will be a part of what God's doing here, because we're family across the pond. We're family. We're one body, one people, one family. We're the kingdom together. And so you're not alone. I think I need to say that again. You're not alone. And I believe there are partners that you don't know yet, not only coming from far, but also coming from near. There's partners right here in the city. And as you send out a sound, Perianne prophesied yesterday about a sound of the house, a sound, a new sound coming out. Is that sound? It's a sound of worship, yes, but it's also a sound of faith just in your voice. And there's a sound going out in the realm of the Spirit that's beginning to signal partners that'll come alongside, that will partner with you in the harvest that God has for this house. So signal your partners. Partners do, they invest three things: time, talent, and treasure. You know someone's your partner when they invest their time. They make the relationship a priority. A priority. They arrange their schedule around the relationship. They invest their talent, their gifts, their abilities, their skills. They serve. Partners serve with one another alongside. And they invest their treasure. They're invested. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It doesn't say where your heart is, there your treasure will be. Your treasure will lead your heart. So partners make an investment with their treasure, and it pulls their heart in. And it's a heart for the kingdom and the purpose of God. So you're not alone. We're in it to win it. We're in it together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What God's doing on that side of the pond in Azle, we could tell you stories of what He has done, also what He is doing. We're in the middle of a building campaign, and we're seeing loads of new people come in every single week. What He's doing there, He's also doing here. And we're with you in it, and we want to invest in you. So let's stand together. Father, we thank you today, Lord, that this year we go deep and wide. Lord, this year we choose to launch out into the deep. We don't even understand what that means or what it'll look like, but at your word, nevertheless, at your word, Lord, we'll obey. We may not understand why I'm telling this person, I like your hair or your outfit in Sainsbury's. We may not know why. We're speaking this word to that, to a person. But nevertheless, at your word, we'll launch out of our comfort zone and into the deep and obey your word to see lives change, hearts touched. Because, Lord, you really are so good. You're so good to me. Lord, you're also so good to them. Help us. Help me. Present you in the truth and reality of your goodness and your love. And by so doing, fill up what is lacking from your suffering. That all might know. That all might know your love that sent your Son to the cross to suffer in our place, to heal, to deliver, to restore.
I just want to speak over you that there's something amazing that comes alive in a person who really gets that they're fully loved and accepted as they are from the Father. And that is the destiny of this house. So it starts with you. And there's no performance here. You can't just fully accept it in one download in a moment. But that's where you're headed. And so I just want to release over you. This is very real to me because I've had to learn it in the land of conformity. of the Bible Belt. And God just won't bless a false me. He will only bless the one he made. And I dance around with fitting in, and he's waiting for me back in reality, loving me and saying, that's the you I want to anoint. So I just want to bless you with, when new people come in, there's going to be a bypass of any kind of changing who they are. And they're going to be straight on to the adventure of releasing who God made them to be, redeeming the things that have gone wrong, but no comparison. So the way that looks played out is a celebration of each other. So we can really say, Ashwood Church, come to the party the Lord's throwing, because it's a celebration of each one of you. And I just declare that this church is a party, the right kind of party, and a celebration of the multicolored, multifaceted, multitudinous expressions of him. And we may not, each one of us, know how we carry it at the moment. We may have inklings, but we will not give up on the journey. And if condemnation or rejection comes, we'll grab a friend and say, help me shake this off. And we'll celebrate each other, even in differences and diversity, because there's one kingdom and we really are partners.